Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I certainly am.
And Chris is over there, isolating away.
Hello.
Now, we all have a guilty pleasure or three, whether that be a film, TV program, or a particular pop song that we enjoy against our better judgment. Guilty pleasure can be defined as something such as a film, TV program, or piece of music that one enjoys despite feeling that it is not generally held in high regard. Or to put it another way, something you're a little bit embarrassed to admit that you like or are aware that it might be seen as a bit naff, weird, or crap by others. So this week, we're asking the question, what constitutes a guilty pleasure?
Do you want me to tell you what my guilty pleasure is?
I really do, Chris.
Go on.
I really do.
So it's not currently one, but it is one that I have enjoyed in the past. Mm. It was the TV show, The Vampire Diaries.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Chris rescinded. Chris had his membership of the Man Club rescinded right there. You are no longer welcome, sir. Close the doors, boys.
I did not have you down for that.
Did you not see that one coming?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I feel guilty because I am not the target audience.
You really are not. How did you come by The Vampire Diaries?
It's actually a very good show, if you allow me to explain.
I'll tell you what, Chris. That's got us off to a blinding start. That really has. You know, the guilty pleasure says something negative about us, doesn't it, Chris?
Yeah. How did I come across it? I think it was just on, and I think I was just like watching it. And then I started to go, this is actually quite good. And I've tried to reflect over the last few hours before we did the show, why did I even like it? And I think it probably just reminds me of being younger. Not that I was a young vampire, but more that I was the shows that you would watch as a teenager. I think it takes you go back to that place of, like, you know,
is it a bit
Dawson's, love triangle.
And, is it a bit Dawson's Creek?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, love
Dawson's
triangle.
Creek with Fang.
Yeah, love triangle. Exactly. Yeah. You've got the main woman, and then you've got, in Dawson's Creek, they're best mates, but in Vampire Diaries, they're brothers. And I think also, as a show, not to advertise it too much, because it isn't very good, it does know what it is. I appreciated the fact that it knew it was a terrible show and it was about vampires and
well,
it would take
stop.
The mick out of itself.
Then stop making it. You know what you are and you're crap, just stop doing new series.
You find a winning formula, though. Yeah.
I did stop after season six. I didn't get all the way through to the end. It did get to a point where I was like, I'm lost now. Like, you've lost me. I'm gone. And not as in, like, it's complicated. It really isn't complicated. But as in, like, I'm just done now. But it was a jolly good show, and I enjoyed it.
Well, Chris, fair play to you, mate. That's, you know,
I'm not saying really bad.
This is a safe place. This is a sanctuary, and we support you in your ridiculous life choices. Sarah, would you like to?
What was bad? What was bad though? Sorry, Marcus.
Oh,
what was bad though is I actually watched the first season twice.
Chris,
I watched it on my own, and then I introduced it to my wife.
Chris, I tried to move on there. You should have let me. Sarah,
sorry.
All right, moving on. Listen, one of mine is actually also a TV show. Mine is Midsummer Murders.
Oh, is that bad? Like it.
Okay, like, I say this with so much love in my heart for Midsummer Murders, but it is truly shocking. It is so bad. It's like super melodramatic. It's really predictable. It's like especially when, like, you know, people get murdered, it's always like really hammed up. it's like, it's so bad, but it is also like everything that I love. And I actually find it a really good like comfort watch because it's always set in some gorgeous English village. And there's actually always like some like quite well-known actors in it. And you always get, it's always tied up neatly in a bow at the end and you find out exactly what happened and why. It's just everything I want in a show. Yeah. I love it so much, but I'm aware that I come across as a complete nana.
Okay, so yeah, because
I'm not the type of audience.
I've not seen Midsommar Murders, so therefore I suppose I can imagine though you saying that and people looking at you like you're a bit of a grandma, like, oh, I quite like Murder, She Wrote, that kind of thing.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I think probably the demographic, like people who enjoy it, are probably 60 plus.
Yeah.
Although, like that being said, I showed it. I've been living with my parents for a while because of the lockdown. And I showed it to my mother, thinking like, oh, we can have a bit of fun and watch this. And she was just like, this is ridiculous.
It's bloody rubbish.
Absolutely rubbish. Like, just not fun at all. She thought it was too silly. So that made me feel even more guilty.
To be fair, that's bad. If you show your mum or dad something and you think, oh, you like this, you're the target audience. And they're going, sorry, what? Why are you watching this? Get this out of my house.
Exactly. Go on.
I was going to say, is it very much it's a Sunday afternoon, I might have an afternoon nap type TV show that you have on in the background?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ovaltine. Yeah.
Oh, no, I couldn't nap in it because I can't bear to like miss any of the like clues. But definitely, you know, you curl up on the sofa, hot cross bun or something. Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Lovely.
But also, I put a call out to the listeners to see if anyone had any guilty pleasures. Yeah. And we did get a TV one as part of it, because it just reminded me. Tim Bevan said he loves a bit of Only Fools and Horses.
That's not guilty pleasure.
Well, this is... I think he feels guilty.
Why?
Hang on, Sarah, do you recognise this tone?
Right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Well, there is
There's
a bit of a debate, isn't there? Is there? Maybe. Let's create one. That what actually is a guilty pleasure? And that's the question that we're asking today. It's not what is your guilty pleasure, although, of course, we're going to talk about guilty pleasure. What constitutes a guilty pleasure? Now, people often think that something... Now, I appreciate that Tim hasn't said this. But something that's indulgent.
Don't worry, Tim.
Yeah, you're all right, Tim. Well, so far of what we know about you.
So far.
You haven't created any unwanted headlines, as far as I'm aware. But people often think that something that's indulgent is a guilty pleasure, which that's not really the case. I mean, a guilty pleasure is something that could be frowned upon or seen as weird, I suppose. But again, even the slang dictionary, believe it or not, there is a thing, defines guilty pleasure as an activity or piece of media that someone enjoys but would be embarrassed if other people found out about it, and so on and so forth. Generally, the guilty pleasure is something that might be viewed as shameful by some people, like trashy novels or overdone rom-coms. So liking Only Fools and Horses, Only Fools and Horses is a very well celebrated television show, which is why I just think no.
But it's quite a like it's a bit uncool, isn't it? It's like with Midsommar Murders and Vampire Diaries. It's not like you know, we were talking earlier, weren't we, about like Tiger King, like that's the sort of thing. It's like it's cool to have watched that. It's cool to like, you know, I'm trying to think of a series off the top of my head. Like,
no, but it's saying
I literally can't think of.
But saying like I
like, but like it's something that's like a bit like, oh, it's not very cool.
No, I disagree. Only Fools and Horses is dearly loved. It's a dearly loved great British television show that captured the hearts and minds of certainly a generation or two. You know, so I don't think you can say that. It's a bit like saying, oh, you know, my guilty pleasure is, you know, the Beatles or something. It's like, oh yeah, well done. You know, I'm not having that at all.
But see, again, no, I would disagree with you, because I think a lot of people would be like, oh, the Beatles, really? Come on.
No, but that's because it's obvious.
Yeah.
That's because it's very obvious.
No, I don't. I think it's because it's like a lot of people would say that's a bit sort of hackneyed and a bit like, oh, really? Yeah. How unoriginal.
Yeah, but that's. But people shouldn't be embarrassed, though. This is what I mean. I think there's a level sort of embarrassment or shame. If someone says to you, "Do you like Only Fools and Horses?" and you go, "Yes," I enjoyed it. Yeah. Whereas, as Chris displayed quite brilliantly earlier, you know, do you like The Vampire Diaries? He's thinking, should I admit this?
Is there something though that it is a generational thing? So if you're from the generation like we were, where Only Fools and Horses was a big TV show, then there's no shame in that. But actually, if you're like a teenager now, like the comedy's moved on, times have moved on. Like, is there, and you said the same with the music, like, is it that it's a guilty pleasure for some people, but for others, you have a right to say that that was a brilliant piece of media?
Well, the tricky thing is with guilty pleasure, it's all in how it's perceived, because we perceive that the thing we like or like doing will cause us to be judged or slagged off. And I suppose if you are maybe, I don't know, an 18-year-old and, you know, in this day and age, and you say, oh, I really like Only Fools and Horses. Yeah, maybe 18-year-olds, I don't know, like sit around and, well, not sit around, but they think of the old classic shows.
Can't or whatever, together.
And go, oh, what do the youth do these
yeah,
days?
I have no idea. Well, no one's sitting around at the moment, are they? So I don't think even they know. But, perhaps they people of that age would look at a show like Only Fools and Horses and go, this is a load of rubbish. Whereas, as you say, it's difficult for you know, certainly my generation to think that. I mean, so how do you feel then?
What's your guilty pleasure, Marcus?
Oh, voting for extreme right-wing parties. you know, I only get to do it every few years. I jest, of course, everybody. Men in suits.
When you get out of prison.
Yeah, this remote recording has come at the right time for me.
Yeah.
I would say, what would be a guilty pleasure? I suppose the obvious one for me, and maybe one or two people are aware of this, and bearing in mind, I really embraced the sort of Britpop indie scene of the mid to late 90s. So I was always hanging around the kind of the indie boys, you know, that would have been my thing. My guilty pleasure, certainly in those circles, I would be guilty if tried, would be Bon Jovi, early Bon Jovi particularly, that kind of thing. Whereas I think...
Yeah, that's a guilty pleasure.
It is. But the thing is, though, I think that you have tapped into something about it being generational, because I think the older you get, the less you sort of give a damn. And also, I think... I don't know what it's like nowadays with the music scene. I don't think that there's such defined group as, oh, those guys are into indie or they're into, you know, heavy metal. Or, do you know what I mean? I don't think it's as easy to find. Obviously, as I reiterate, you know, I am an old man compared to a lot of people in those circles, so I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I would suggest there isn't such a, it's more sort of homogenized a lot of it.
Is it specifically Bon Jovi? Is it all 80s power ballads?
No, it would be Bon Jovi very much. I mean, I don't care for a power ballad that much, actually, despite having said I like Bon Jovi. I think stadium rock would be slightly more specific. So I've seen Bon Jovi.
Queen was one that came up.
Yeah, Queen would be, I think that would probably, but again, a lot of people would think it's so relative, I think, a lot of this stuff. Not all of it. I think Vampire Diaries and that was, again, a great start, Chris. But and God bless you for saying that. But I think with Bon Jovi, like, some people go, oh yeah, I love Bon Jovi, I've got some of their albums. Whereas, as I say, for me, with my mates, that wouldn't go down very well at all. U2 might even be another one. I think if you admitted to, say, liking something like U2, it'd be frowned upon. But what I will do, though, is, Chris, I will go out on the ledge where you're currently stood, and I'm going to join you, because I'm going to be very specific with a song here, because this is shocking. Do you remember the pop star Anastasia?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I think most people would.
go on, Marcus. Sing the song.
The song, the title is so bad. It's so crap. She has a song which I can't help but think, you know what? It's got a lovely catchy tune. She has a song. It's not one of even her big hits. It's called Cowboys and Kisses. How piss poor is that? Let me read you a line.
That sounds like some kind of romance novel.
Well, it could kind of be holding on to you like a pair of old shoes that you never throw away. Hey, John Lennon would be turning his grave. The other one that I quite like of that kind of, because some people say, oh, you know what, I quite like that, I don't know, sort of Robbie Williams song or All Saints song or something like that. And you think, well, it had an ounce of credibility, if you see what I mean. You've really got to go. So I've really tried to think, what shockingly bad pop song do I think, do you know what, that's not bad. And there's no kind of, oh, but she or he was quite credible. You remember Billy Piper?
Oh, yeah. Yes. A modern day polymath.
Honey to the Bee by Billy Piper.
Yes.
That's a lovely song.
And because we want to.
Yeah, no, that was crap. That was crap. But Honey to the Bee. Come on, buzz me up to heaven, baby. That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah. I think...
Wow, I've really learned something about you today, Marcus.
Yeah. Cowboys and Kisses always seem to bring me down.
Yeah. Explains so that tattoo you've got on the bottom of your back.
Yeah, indeed. You thought it was Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi? No, my friend.
I did, yeah.
I'm afraid not.
Very good.
I'm afraid not. Now, in Hello Magazine, not a guilty pleasure of mine, I hasten to say. they had... You know,
some people would say it
And
was.
You should feel guilt over that. They had a top 50 guilty pleasures list in a poll they did among Britons. And this is where I think that they're missing the point of guilty pleasures. Because at number one, having an extra scoop of ice cream. I mean, who doesn't enjoy that? That's bollocks.
Nonsense.
That's exactly...
But although... No, but I would say that makes people feel guilty because of diet culture and all that. You know, there's this big thing, isn't there, about how it's so naughty. But, and like, I don't think you should feel guilty for having that extra scoop of ice cream. You like ice cream, have the ice
cream.
I
agree.
But unless you're watching Vampire Diaries.
the ice cream is the last then, thing I'm worried about in that equation.
Yeah, then feel guilty.
Oh, honestly, Chris, I'm still reeling.
What about Nutella with a spoon?
Do you know what? I think that's
that one.
Someone messaged him about
that's
that.
In there.
Matt McFerrin said Nutella with a spoon.
Oh, Matty, yeah. you know your onions and your Nutella. Eating Nutella out of the jar like it's a yogurt is
nothing wrong with that.
In these isolated times, I've indulged in a bit of that. But I don't think
don't feel guilty.
I don't think that's a guilty pleasure. I think if you've ever tasted Nutella, like go straight to it. Don't bother putting that on, I don't know, what would you put? I don't even know. I don't even put it on anything. I just go straight
toast.
To it.
Toast.
You have it on toast. Don't put it on toast. Put butter or marmite.
What if you had a whole jar?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's just stupid.
But, what that's just going to give you diabetes.
I've definitely had a half a jar on the cellar before in one go.
There's a fine line between bravery and stupidity, isn't there? I mean, I think eating Nutella out of the jar was in there. But then, so here's the top. I'll give you the top five. So number one is eating, having an extra scoop of ice cream. Number two, ordering takeaway food because you can't be bothered to cook. I mean, I don't see why that's so bad. Yeah.
Again, it's the morality, isn't it? It's like, oh, you're too lazy, huh? Yeah. Too lazy having some fatty takeaway.
Yeah,
like all that trans fat and all that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's... Is moralizing the food, isn't it?
Yeah, I think food is an area where people use the term guilty pleasure out of context a lot, actually. Number three, watching Disney films and cartoons as an adult. Yeah, I suppose that could be a bit of a guilty pleasure, like saying, oh, I like watching Bugs Bunny or something. Shouldn't probably be doing that as an adult. But then four is falling asleep in front of the TV, and five is watching Netflix or films all day. And it's like, well, I don't
know.
Again,
you should stop reading that magazine.
Okay, so that Netflix thing, that Netflix thing reminds me of. So one of my others is I sometimes like to play like video games,
right.
And I feel really guilty about doing it. So I only let myself have like one a year or something, unless you're in lockdown, because I feel guilty that I'm like in some way wasting time.
Really can't imagine you playing computer games for some reason.
I know, honestly, Tomb Raider. Oh, I love
Tomb
it.
Tomb Raider, female lead.
But yeah, I wonder if it's the thing of like people feel guilty like they're in some way like wasting time. Although I'm firmly of the belief that if you're enjoying it, it's not wasted time.
Well, what's the famous quote? It might have been from John Lennon actually. Time you enjoy wasting isn't wasted.
I'm pretty sure I just said that. Yeah. It's my quote.
Yeah. maybe he said something else. Anyway, you're standing on the shoulders of giants, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah, well, exactly. And so. I was going to say, so I think this is a really interesting thing, isn't it? Of like guilt and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And actually, like one of the guys who messaged in, Paul Staveley, so he originally said, I don't believe in feeling guilty about pleasure, but Frozen is up there. And I was like, respect. No need to let that go, friend.
And then
he messaged in again and said, to clarify, I think there's so much in the world that can bring you down. Guilty pleasure is a horrible term. I mean, just enjoy it. Yeah. We're talking about liking steps, not burning down an orphanage.
Steps is on there.
We are talking about guilty pleasures, though, Paul. We're not talking about mass murder. But I think...
what if your guilty pleasure is just, a little bit of, murder?
You shouldn't bring it down, much like those cowboys and kisses, of course. But, and that is the chorus. But, there was a piece in the New York Times last year entitled Guilty Pleasures, No Such Thing. And it argued that just because some people look down at certain things doesn't mean they shouldn't be enjoyed by others. And according to many, of course, guilty pleasures are good in moderation because they can sort of help us switch off and blah, blah, blah. So you shouldn't sort of stigmatize it. I think there's a fine line. I think that just because people can be a bit snobby and snooty towards things and they can piss off, but you do have to draw the line somewhere. And that line is men watching Vampire Diaries.
Or anyone, to be perfectly honest with you.
It might happen. You don't know. You won't be prepared. Yeah, that's all true. I'm saying. You won't know what to do.
Or men singing along with certain Anastasia songs. That's where the line is, okay? Or Billy Piper.
Oh, I'm going to listen to that after the show.
Do you know what? Here's another. This was a bit of a guilty pleasure. It was a good friend of mine called Nick. He used to read out a column from the Daily Star to me, which, if you don't know the Daily Star, it's a classic British tabloid, and then
soft porn,
I suppose divide that by about 100 and you're there. But it was a column written by, do you remember Dominic Diamond, Chris? Sarah, you probably won't know Dominic Diamond. He used to present Games Master.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, in fact, Sarah, you'd have loved that back in the day. It was all about computer games and so on. Dominic Diamond, he lives in Canada now. I think he's on radio in Canada. But anyway, he used to do a column in the Daily Star, which was all about just like slagging off easy targets and celebrities and so on. Right. Absolute trash. But we thought it was hilarious. And I'll quote you a couple of lines. I hear Katie Price has bought her lover, Peter Andre, a recording studio for his birthday. It's like giving a plane to a blind man. Stuff like that. It made me laugh. Peter Andre called me a prick once. That's like being called a genius by Einstein. It's absolute trash. It's bottom of the barrel stuff. But we loved it. I'll tell you that.
If it does it for you, friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Any other listeners, any more correspondence with guilty pleasure? So,
I think the ones that really shocked me slightly were some of the food related ones, because I know we talked about old Matt McFerrin with his Nutella and a spoon, and someone else said donuts, and I was like, all right, fine. But then we got some really weird ones. And I'll begin with my own boyfriend's one, which he said really, really cheap, disgusting service station pre-made sandwiches. And I do kind of get him on that. I do love a good, horrible, cheap pre-made sandwich.
Yeah, I wouldn't frown on so. The only way you need to give a bit more.
They are quite nasty.
Yeah, but if someone's getting, filling up the car and you think, all right, I'll have one of these. Whereas if, I don't know, you're driving half an hour or driving like a bit of a detour to get your lunch from there, that's quite deviant behaviour.
Yeah, that's deviant behaviour. It gets worse, though. Jamie Guyon, who's we've heard from before, he said, tinned meat. Nothing beats spam, pork luncheon or ox tongue once in a while in some buttered roll. Well, you should feel guilty for that, Jamie. I'm sorry. Spam. That's revolting.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, just to top it all off, friend and mine, Kithrin, said peanut butter, gherkin and mustard sandwiches.
Right,
what is wrong with
you? She should be arrested.
What is that?
Should be arrested before she goes on to do something more heinous.
So that would come under that. Some people would find that very weird. I mean,
that is deviant behavior. You should feel
it really is
very ashamed. Yeah,
but we appreciate you you admitting that. But we do need to call the police. Number 50.
Marcus, you said earlier on.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, you said earlier on a lot of it's related to media. So do you disagree with that any food is a guilty pleasure?
I think the food needs a bit of context. Because as you say, if someone just says donuts or Nutella, you know, then
yeah,
it's kind of like, well, yeah, but we, if you they're added... edible. You're eating, yeah. You know, they're there to be eaten.
You add in like in a bath into that sentence, does that make it worse?
There you go.
What, an ox tongue sandwich in the bath?
In the bath, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I
love an ox tongue sandwich in the bath.
but then a guilty pleasure though, is it not something that has to be? You can't kind of like, you can't make it up too much, if you see what I mean. So you can't say, oh well, I like, you know, licking jelly off the wall. You kind of think, but that's not a thing. That's just weird behavior.
Maybe it is for some people. Maybe it is.
I think a guilty pleasure.
People like all kinds of weird stuff, Marcus. Doesn't... They really
do. But I think a guilty pleasure needs to be something that is, because again, the definitions are fairly kind of conclusive on this. That it does say these things might be books, films, TV shows, foods. And so I don't think it is necessarily how we approach that, although I realise that's slightly contradictory because I think you need a bit more context. So again, putting Nutella on toast is not, is that really guilty pleasure, whereas eating half a jar might be. But if you sort of say, oh, you know, I don't know, just put Nutella on steak or something, is that a guilty pleasure? It's not a thing, really. Like, people don't do it. That's very, very weird behaviour, if you see what I mean.
Well, I thought putting peanut butter, gherkin and mustard together was a weird thing.
It is. That's why I'm genuinely concerned about her mental state, you know. No. So that's why when you say, oh, what's a guilty pleasure, or Bon Jovi, and then I give a bit more context of I was more of a sort of an indie crowd, you know, that wouldn't go down very well there. Mm. And maybe the previous comment from, I forget the guy's name, about Only Fools and Horses, maybe in his circles, that's a bit of a social faux pas, shall we say. Or I don't know, a lot of people are like drinking half pints of beer. Well, you know what it's like. I mean, Chris, you probably back me up here. If you know, if you go down the pub with your mates and someone has half a pint and they're not driving, or there's no reason for them to have half a pint, people might be like, hey, well, what's that about then? You know, you'd order half.
Oh, yeah, they look
basically
weird.
Anything.
It does. Well,
it's basically anything that's against the social norm of your group.
Yeah.
Or the people you tend to spend time with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is considered kind of normal behavior and sensible behavior. So, you know, I would say it's not sensible to watch The Vampire Diaries.
No, but Marcus would have fitted in with my group because we all loved Anastasia. So
there you go. Hey, well, you see. Well, you were a vice president of the Anastasia fan club, Chris. So
I was.
Can I say a number 50? So at number 50 on the list in Hello Magazine and so on, number 50 was simply dancing to Meghan Trainor. That's so oddly specific.
What? That's very specific. Also, whatever you think of Meghan Trainor, she's got some bangers. Like, they're quite danceable too.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Have a dance. Don't be guilty. Yeah.
Watching the Kardashians, that is basically feel guilty.
Whoever has come up with that list has run out of things at the end and they're just putting what they want. That's not like a public survey. Oh, what have you got? Man, you know, Toby making your tea. What do you think? Oh, Meghan Trainor. I'll just write that down.
Yeah,
put that in, number 50, whatever.
Do you know what? I think that we can have public guilty pleasures as well. And I would put Backstreet Boys into the mix of that because as soon as those tracks come on, everybody knows the lyrics.
Yeah.
They just do. Yeah. In my era, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think you hit on something when you talked about target audiences. I think if you're not the target audience, then you're kind of, it's the sort of the fish out of water. It's not the expectation.
Yeah. What are you doing here?
So, like, I think, yeah, like if you were if you were like we said earlier, if you go to a bunch of teenagers and they go, oh, you know, who do you like to listen to music? And you go, oh, I love Bob Dylan. They're all going to be like, lame. Whereas, like, you know, if you say that to people, you know, of whatever other age, then they'll be like, oh, yeah, no, it makes sense. Great songwriter, sure.
Yeah, cool. I think that's a fair point, Sarah. And it's maybe we should end on that. We'll end on Bob Dylan. As an odd guilty pleasure to finish with. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Do get in touch with us on social media. As Sarah's obviously hugely alluded to, we do sometimes put out the question to your good selves. So you contribute to the show, and we do appreciate that greatly. So we're on Instagram and Twitter at AQQA Pod. So do get involved there. But until next week, thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
And thank you, good listeners. Guilt away.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.